The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
He's Lippo. And I'm Big JD.
Oh, there's somebody else here besides myself. How you doing, Big JD?
I'm doing good, Lippo.
I'm doing great. I just had breakfast.
Did you?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
Big
Jeffrey's Diner? Big JD's Diner?
Yes, it was awesome. Got some flapjacks.
Nothing like a nice flapjack in the morning.
Eggs and bagels.
Flapjacks, eggs and bagels, and French press.
Nothing like a good cup of coffee either.
It's woken me up a little bit.
That's good. Glad to hear that. It gives me a little zing, too. I'm surprised there was no fruit. You're an all-healthy guy, and usually you're...
Yeah, I could have put out some fruit. We had oranges sitting right on the counter.
Okay.
We had some vegetables. We could have had a little bit of tomato. And I meant to ask you that, if you want some tomato and whatnot. You should have asked me that earlier.
Well, there was enough. I'm not a big breakfast eater, so no. There's plenty of food, that's for sure. But as I'm thinking about it right now, usually fruit would be the thing I would expect out of you for breakfast.
Yeah, I don't like fruit that much for breakfast, unless I'm like having a smoothie or something like that. If I have like peanut butter and honey on something or whatever, I think the fruit kind of ruins it for me. As good as and as tasty as fruit is, you know what I mean? What I'll find is that if I have a bowl of fruit with it, I'll eat the fruit. And then I'll have my breakfast so I can enjoy the taste of what I'm really wanting for
the
breakfast.
Peanut butter and the honey.
Peanut butter and honey. Oh. Almost like a bit of honey. Remember those? Bit o' honey.
Bit o' honey. What was that?
It's an American thing, I think.
What was
it? Almost like the Smarties not available in the USA.
Was it a breakfast cereal?
No. Bit o' honey?
Yeah.
No, it was like a candy thing, like flat individual things that were peanut butter and honey.
And you sucked on them, right?
Yeah, you more or less had to because they were not like...
Chewy.
Yeah, they were like harder.
Hard.
Type.
Like toffee.
Something like that. Almost like the Macintoshes.
Macintosh, which you can't get in the States either.
Oh, come on. This is just getting ridiculous now.
I'm telling you. Yes.
And who's that made by? Same company as Smarties?
I'm not sure. I want to say I just read an article maybe about a week...
Say it, man.
About a week and a half ago that talked about a woman who... lived
in a shoe
in the States. No, she went and visited a relative in the States.
Okay.
And she had to bring with her chocolate bars and candy that was only available in Canada.
Wow.
To bring it to...
That would include Smarties and Macintoshes for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Not to be confused with the computers or the amplifiers.
Right. Macintosh amplifier.
Yeah.
What the world's that? Some kind of boutique thing?
Yeah. It's high end.
Any good?
But it's been around forever.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I recall that name.
Back before boutique was boutique.
What about, what are those amps? Train or train wreck? Train wreck, I think. Train wreck amps?
Yeah.
I've seen those and they look really cool. Sound really cool.
Yeah, and I think any boutique amp.
But if I used anything other than Marshall, I'd use Blackstar.
Blackstar?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with Blackstar.
Oh, come on,
man. I'm telling you.
That's the Marshall guys that left Marshall.
Oh, right. You were telling me that. Yeah, yeah.
Very, very cool. Almost identical, really, to Marshall, I think.
So
that's why.
That's why you'd go there.
Another cool name.
But you're paying probably a lot more, and probably the stuff is built differently. The Marshall stuff, I believe, is mass manufactured.
Well,
on a certain scale,
I think. I don't think Blackstar maybe is as big, but so it's probably not manufactured on that massive scale. But
right, I'm thinking hand soldered stuff.
Could be. I'm not really sure about all the particulars and technical aspect of all that, but I just know they sound really good.
Sitting in a room with a Marshall, well, two Marshall heads. One's a combo, three. He's pointing at something else.
Three Marshalls.
Three Marshalls, yes. JD likes his Marshall equipment.
He does.
And his Gibsons. But you're never a big Fender fan.
No. Don't even look at the fender over there.
Is it a fender?
He's got a dented in fender. Yeah, Telly.
It's the Heco Ameco, isn't it? Yeah, I had a Strat exactly like that. Made in Mexico, red, the same red.
Red Strat, yeah.
Yep.
Wow. I even got a black faceplate to put on that because the white is stupid looking.
I did the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah?
And it's super thin. Super thin, I believe.
What is?
The pickguard.
Oh, it's probably not that thick.
Right.
It looks actually a little thicker than you would think, though.
Now that I see it, it does look thicker than I am thinking that mine was. The very first time I went into a guitar center was in L.A. Okay. And it was a Strat. It was $299. I'm like, phew. And I played it for like a long time, cranked it through some kind
obviously
of
obviously Mexican or...
It was Mexican, yeah. So I couldn't lose.
The Japanese ones are better. And then the American ones obviously are the highest priced ones.
Japanese Strats.
But I traded that for something. I didn't pay for it. I wouldn't buy a Fender.
Right. It's just good to have in your arsenal.
It is? That is?
Yeah.
There's nothing good about that.
There's nothing good about it.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah. Not into it.
There is something good about it. No, it's got six strings on it.
I don't mind. I've used it for some little things. I'd never do anything official with it. But I have it because it's got my Fishman triple play on there. So oh, okay. I use it as a MIDI device. That's about all that's good for. Track's okay, though.
Yeah. I'm sure it does.
So there you go.
So it's an input for putting MIDI.
Yeah. If I need piano or something, I'll use the Fender.
Yeah. There you go.
If I need harmonica, I'll call Lippo, which, by the way, you got to lay some tracks down.
I changed my phone number. No.
The last one was great.
What did I do last time?
You played some harp on that tune that I want to have Kenny Kokstad on.
Oh, Kenny, crazy Kenny.
Remember?
Yeah.
You did a piece, but there, you can do a little more on there. I have opened it up for a little extra, but you were going to do something else on the punk tree thing, remember?
Oh,
was it that, I think?
Rob's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get that done.
Yeah.
Sometime when you're not so busy.
We'll do it up.
Yes, we will. We're talking over the news segment of Big JD and Lippo in the morning, if I'm not mistaken, aren't we?
Oh, you got some news for us?
Well, Gary Richrath died.
Yep. REO Speedwagon.
REO Speedwagon.
I think we might be interviewing them on South Detroit Soundhouse coming up soon.
Awesome.
Because he wasn't playing with them right now. Right?
No. He got...
He'd come back, or they'd done some shows like recently. 2013, maybe?
Yeah. And he sat in on a couple of those shows. Is that what you're going to say?
What was up with... what was wrong? I didn't see how he died. Or did you see that? Or?
No, I have no idea what the details of his death were. He didn't look very healthy under 2013.
No, he sure looked a lot different than he didn't look like what the same he guy. Used to look
you
like.
You would never know it was Gary Richrath.
No. Very, very different.
Yeah, so...
Like something wrong different, sort of, kind of, eh?
Yeah.
Like maybe?
Yeah, something...
Or that he was maybe taking on some medication or something that was doing something like...
Yeah, who knows?
Remember like Jerry Lewis had the steroid medication?
Yeah, that could have been the exact same thing.
Made him look a lot different.
Yeah, for sure.
So, this just in.
This just in.
Well, breaking news. I've got my finger in my ear like the little in-ear monitor thing. Rolling Stones are planning a new album, new studio album.
Yes.
What is this? What number is this album, I wonder?
A lot.
They have a lot of albums, yeah, and plan to record their first new studio album in a decade. And guitarist Keith Richards made the revelation during an interview to promote his new solo album, Cross-Eyed Heart.
Which that's his news release. Right there, Cross-Eyed Heart. That's not even released. It's interesting.
Well, that's set for release like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Today?
Or
tomorrow?
Maybe Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay.
Albums come out on Tuesday.
What day is today?
Today is
September 18th.
Oh, that is tomorrow. You're right.
There you go.
Albums will come out on Friday. The whole thing has changed, right? The whole
Stones can come out with an album whenever they want.
Well, the Stones do, but Keith's previous two solo projects, I was in love with them. They're awesome. Well, it's his band is a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, we talked about his Cross-Eyed Heart thing, didn't we?
I think we did.
You were looking forward to that coming out, and I'm interested to hear it. You know.
Yeah. The Stones thing. Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to hear that too. But it'll be another Stones album. A lot of people, you know, they're not thinking it's going to be anything different than anything else they've put out in the last 15, 20 years. Well, it was 10 years since they
Yeah, a decade. And also, Kiss sets a record with the most gold albums.
Really?
Members of Kiss have something new to be proud of, as they have set the record of having earned the most gold album record awards by any American band. So the RIAA announced this week that the band has now earned a total of 30 gold albums, which includes 26 studio albums from the band, as well as their 1978 solo albums. Solo albums went gold? Wow.
Well, what is gold? Gold isn't a very big... it's $1 million worth
Is platinum's higher than gold, is it?
Yeah.
Is
it, yeah, it's $1 million
Why
copies.
Is it, though? Isn't gold like more expensive than platinum?
No.
No? Platinum's an expensive material?
Metal, yes.
Metal.
And yeah. What is platinum exactly? I'm trying to even think of what platinum is.
Platinum's a silverish colored metal.
What do you do with platinum?
Make stuff really hard.
Isn't it platinum you make expensive silverware from or something?
Sure, you can.
Platinum,
yeah.
This is my platinum set.
It's extremely hard, whereas gold is soft and pliable.
You know what I'm saying? Some platinum.
And then after that is titanium, if I'm not mistaken.
Titanium above that? That's a light metal. Isn't it soft? Is it strong?
Titanium.
Titanium is light. I know that.
It's light, but
it's that strong.
It's that strong. And it goes into your face for implants.
Comparatively speaking. Whoa.
I have titanium in my jaw right now.
Do you?
Yeah.
If I hold a magnet, does titanium get sucked in by a magnet? You have any other news for us?
Yes. Billy Gibbons.
Oh,
guitars
for
ZZ Top, who just were at the casino here in Windsor, Ontario. He's coming out with a new album as well. It's called Perfecta Mundo.
And sounds like a name he'd choose for his thing.
Yes, exactly.
And he also announced a fall tour in support of his solo album.
Yes, he's going to be in Detroit November 15th, and it's a big tour.
You said 14th, you told me before, but...
Did I?
Yeah, 15th.
It might be the 14th. I'm sorry. I know Bright Lights.
The BFGs, right?
The BFGs is the name of his backing band, and Big JD before the show, we're trying to figure out what BFG stands for. It could be Big Effin' Goofs or Billy Effin' Gibbons. That doesn't make any sense. That would be extremely...
Might be his middle name, but then again, if that's the backup band...
That's the band. Why would you call your band...
Isn't that the whole band? The solo band? The BFGs? The whole thing?
Yeah.
Not just the backup band. It's him, too. The BFGs.
Oh, no, wait. Lippo is right. It is Billy Gibbons and the BFGs.
Coming out with Perfecta Mundo.
That's pretty good, man.
The drummer's got always have the last
Lippo
say.
Lippo likes to drum on his bare legs.
And my lips.
Huh? Oh, okay. I get it. He just did it. What are we talking about on the show today? We announced it last show. Not last week, no, but last show. It's been a few weeks or something.
A couple weeks we missed.
Lippo was out on tour.
Yes, I was. I was backing up ZZ Top.
Wineries across...
Yes, I like my wine, that's for sure. Today we're talking about one-hit wonders. One-hit bands, one-hit wonders.
That's the typical term for it, one-hit wonders, right? So
right, so what would be your definition of a one-hit wonder?
Somebody that had one hit and nothing beyond that. And I guess the wonder part comes into, wow, that's pretty amazing that you just had one hit and that was it. It's a wonder like that happens. Or a wonder how that happens.
Exactly.
Not I wonder how that happens, but a wonder. You know what I mean? Like a...
The Tower of Babylon or...
you know what I mean? Yeah, like a wonder. Yeah.
Something abnormal.
How would you explain that? Like a Woo! 7 wonders of the world? Is there 8 now, isn't there?
I think there's only 5 left.
The Big JD and Lippo Studio, is that number 8? Ready?
I don't think so.
The term one-hit wonder is most often used to describe music performers with only one top 40 hit single or having one signature song which overshadows their other work.
Exactly. The first thing that came to my mind was Silent Lucidity from Queensryche.
Oh, yeah?
Myself, I was a huge Queensryche fan from Operation Mindcrime. I got turned on.
I was this huge one right from the first Queensryche solo EP, like EP.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Which had like four songs, I'm going to say, on it. And it was great. That had Queen of the Reich.
Really,
it had.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. Some great tunes. I can't even remember them now. But
that's what I got turned on to initially was the Operation the My
Prophecy.
Crime.
Oh, yeah.
CD. And I went out to LA to visit my buddy, Steve Fitzmaurice. And
Lippo
was
in his LA this morning.
Yeah. 1988. I remember it, gets it was around. A great trip. And that.
What year?
1988.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's the same guy that he plays in a pretty big band out there, right?
No.
Who is it?
Steve Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, well, he plays in a band out in L.A., doesn't he, still?
No, I don't think he's jamming now. Actually, I think he's actually gone off the grid, literally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but that was the guy. He played in a band.
He was in a band, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was buddies with Juan Couture. He was his like his engineer for his studio, and Juan is the bass player from Rat. So. Okay. Anyway, so I went out and visited him, and that's when I got turned on. That cassette was stuck in the tape player, but it came out. I'm trying to think of the name of the album that Silent Lucidity was on. Was it Empire?
That could have been it.
Yeah.
It wasn't Operation Mindcrime.
No, no.
It was later.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly.
I want to say it was Empire.
Wasn't there an Operation Mindcrime Part 2 at some point?
There was a live version.
Oh, okay.
Live version of Operation Mindcrime. I don't think there was no part two. No.
Operation Live.
And then they went through a bunch of personnel stuff, and they just went to. It was
ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly.
They're but playing though in Windsor.
Yeah, they're coming. They're playing at the casino
with the Scorpions.
Is that right?
Yeah, Scorpions are awesome.
Man. I'll have to go see that show for sure.
And coming up soon in the show today, Mike Kozak, drummer from the Canadian rock band Tease, joins me on You Talking to Me to talk about their. One particular hit, Sweet Misery, and a couple other things. So it's going to be cool to have him on the show. And that's coming up shortly. What have you got for us now, Lippo?
We're listening to Sniffin' the Tears with their one-hit wonder, Driver's Seat.
Driver's seat.
kind of cool. Sounds a little bit like Along the Watchtower there a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. They were a great band. Whoa. Just like just like Queensryche. You would not... if my sister knows Silent Lucidity. She wanted to know the album. I'm like, you don't want to listen to the album because the album, it kicks ass.
Yeah, it was definitely a popular thing, a popular song.
And that's the issue, is the fact that a band gets a one-hit wonder and it's the ballad off of an album. That's
a lot of times it could be, yeah. Because that's the one that, you know, especially around that time, ballads are big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More so than, but they are always, I think. And we'll go through some of the ages, I think. 60s, 70s, was a big time for what we kind of term the one-hit wonders, right?
Well, there was AM radio.
Again, as you get later into the 2000s and whatnot, I mean, it's harder to tell who's a one-hit wonder right now because, I mean, they might not have as big a catalog, right, or whatnot.
Right.
So.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Was a Canadian rock band formed in Windsor, Ontario in 1975. The band released 4 studio albums and a live album recorded in Japan. They had only one hit song in their career, which is rather surprising for all the material that they did put out, the number of albums and being such a big band, big labels, playing and touring with other national artists. And here to talk to us today about that song that was on the Loose called Sweet Misery, and to also talk to us about their song Heartless World being included in the film Metalhead by director Ragnar Bragason is T's drummer, Mike Kozak. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Good to see you.
It's great to have you on, and especially to talk to us about T's and Sweet Misery. Maybe you can start by telling us how the song came about, who wrote the song.
Okay, well, we were recording the On the Loose album in Montreal, and we didn't have a wealth of material. We sort of used just about everything we wrote. We weren't prolific writers at the time, and so everybody was pitching in. And this actually was a song from Chuck Price. He initiated it. He brought it. It was kind of, he came to me with it because I was starting to get into writing the lyrics and stuff like that. And he asked me to help him out with the arranging of the vocals and stuff. So I kind of took what he had as a chorus, and I think I made that into a verse, and just took basically his outline of words, added to them, and, you know, spruced them up a bit, and just kind of rearranged it. But I think the real hero of that song was our producer, George Lajos, who just embraced the song. Brought in the piano player, and he made it into what it was. There was no question, because we had just a little acoustic kind of song. He ran with it and made it into however big a hit it was. I think he made it into that.
Did you guys have any idea that this was like going to be the song? This is going to be a hit, or
no? You know what? In fact, you hear the story of every band that has a hit. Oh, it's the last thing we're putting on the album. You know what I mean? You've heard that? This was pretty much that sort of thing. It was not the one we paid the most attention to, because we were more concerned with the, you know, getting our other harder stuff out there. But this song was probably the last one that was worked on. And it ended up being scooped up immediately by a radio in Toronto. I remember the Aquarius people, when we had it finished, they liked it. They thought, we could get this on AM radio, which was what you had to do to develop your career at the time. They took it to Toronto to Chum AM, I think it was Chum, the big station in Canada.
Yeah, Chum was big, yeah.
Yeah, the station that could break you right across the country. And I think the program director, he took the tape and he started running it that day. He didn't even wait for the pressing. He started running it because he liked it. And then it just sort of caught fire. It got picked up by their whole chain of stations, and then it went to just right across the country, and it was pretty sizable song for us.
So after that happened, did you guys in any way try to duplicate that or replicate?
No, not really. Because in fact, we kind of ran away from it because we were a rock band. We were a heavy rock band, and that's...
Yeah, and it was a lighter song for you guys.
It was countryish. It was downright countryish when you look at it, you know, and it was just like, I'm happy for it. I'm happy for the success of it, but it threw a wrench into our image. We were just launching ourselves. We weren't even anywhere yet. And so we were touring with Triumph. Uh-huh. We go to Triumph and people are expecting to hear that, and they're getting this rock band, right? To the point where I sort of stepped up and I said, we're not playing that thing on stage, because it was just slowing down. We'd have a 40-minute set to do, and we throw that in the middle, kind of bring it down, I thought, at the time. But I'll tell you, the one time we got to test the water on that song, we were playing with Triumph at an arena out east. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people heard the story before. Rick Emmett, the guitar player for Triumph, he got hit in the face with flash pots during their set. And so he had to go to the hospital. And so we'd already gone back to the hotel. And we got a call at home, at the hotel, saying, you got to come back. You know, it happened early, and it was an accident. He just was standing over one of the flash pots, got hit in the face. So you guys have to come back, because we got people in here, and we're not giving them their money back. We got to give them something, right? So we came back, and we just got to play whatever we got left, which, you know, inevitably ended up like Slow Ride from Boghat. I just remember the one stipulation we made, because they were pretty panicked. The promoter and everybody were saying, you guys got to play. I said, we're only coming back if you turn the Triumph sign on. They had that gigantic sign. So I said, you turn the sign on, we'll play. So anyway, at some point we said, well, Sweet Misery, just do it any way we can. Jeff, the roof came off the joint, because it was like the number one song locally when we came into town, and the place exploded. I wouldn't have expected that from a crowd that I thought was like a rock crowd, but the familiarity, and people knew the song, and they went wild. But I never wanted to play it again.
Yeah. However, you weren't into playing the song live, right?
Yeah, it didn't change my mind. And in fact, we played it in Japan. That's the only other place I think we played it. Mm-hmm. And we might have played it on a couple special shows, but we played it in Japan, and we just did it acoustically. I mean, I would go back to the dressing room for 4 minutes.
No brushes or...
Nothing. No, nothing. I think it worked better for us that way, because we didn't have a piano player. Yeah. So it would not have been, you know, wouldn't have been the actual album type version. But they did a nice job without me.
Well, we got the track rolling here. This is Sweet Misery from On the Loose, Tease on You Talking to Me.
But as I walked you home that night,
Sweet Misery from the On the Loose CD, Tees, and drummer Mike Kozak here with me in the studio today. Thanks for sharing the Sweet Misery story with us. I'd like to talk a little bit about Heartless World being in the film Metalhead, which came out in 2013. Was it 2013 maybe 2013. That it premiered in TIFF?
Yeah, I just became aware of it like 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. I saw something on the internet about Tees included in the soundtrack of a movie. So I'm looking, then Metalhead, then I investigated that. Then I'm reading about this film from Iceland, and it's getting terrific reviews, like from major sources, like New York Times, stuff like that. I'm thinking this must be something. So I went to iTunes, and I got it, and I watched it, and I just loved the movie. I loved it. It was it's not something that would have come across my radar, and the song was in the movie, and it was great. It was absolutely great. Great thing to see. And since then I've suggested the movie to friends, and they all seem to love it as well. So it's kind of cool after 30 something years for your song to turn up in a film.
Yeah, that's really cool. And they have a Facebook page for that as well, right? So
yes,
maybe we can mention that if you go to Facebook, and you could probably search Metalhead the movie or Malmhaus. It's available, I guess. I would imagine DVD and Blu-ray now.
I think so. I'd like to get my hands on one, but I don't know how the distribution is in Canada right now for that.
Yeah, it looks like they have there's a link here to Blu-ray, but it's a site in Denmark. So
yeah,
I imagine you could or check Amazon. If you want to check its availability here in the Canada and U.S. But very cool movie and lots of cool music in it.
Yeah, it
is. Tees kind of featured in there for some length. Actually, they're playing playing the record.
Yeah, during the actual scene. In the movie, instead of just like on top, right? It's great. It's
and mention the band in the film. So
actually, that was the shocker. I'm watching the movie, and all of a sudden, the characters are mentioning the band, and I think that's just a bonus. That's such a cool thing, right? And we are probably the least heavy band on the soundtrack. That was interesting to me initially. Right? What are we doing in a movie called Metalhead? I don't see us as a metal band. You know,
right.
Like some people see us heavier, but I never think of like those bands. Those are serious heavy metal bands like Megadeth and groups like that. But I'll take it any day of the week.
Yeah, it's very cool. Really cool, and really cool having you on. I really appreciate you being on the show again. Thanks, Mike.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. You can search Tees on Facebook, and you can search Metalhead on Facebook, so you can check out the movie. And the Tees catalog is available online as well in pristine digital form. So search Tees at the iTunes store. This is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Thanks for listening.
Sweet Misery, Tees, a local band. I didn't realize they had played with Cheap Trick, and who else did you say?
Triumph, Cheap Trick, Kiss, and
Kiss.
Probably lots of Billy Squire, maybe, or something. Like, they played with some big artists.
So what else do you want to talk about as far as One Hit Wonders? I want to ask you some questions. I don't know if this is the time as far as One Hit. Did you listen to AM pop radio?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I sure did.
Because I think that was the landscape that produced One Hit Wonders. Whereas before that, there was a lot of songs. It was all about the hits. You came out with a song and like.
Well, I think back then things were still more about, at that time, songs. Not albums, not
right.
The full catalog thing, but you come out with a good song or a hit song or a record with a B-side kind of stuff still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was the thing, or their big song was on an album, and that was that kind of thing, you know. Whereas later on, you kind of got into the record and all the songs, or some bands put out a lot of hits or whatever. You know?
Right. But it was the whole FM radio thing kind of came into play.
Yeah.
Speaking of another one-hit wonder, I was looking up one-hit wonders, and I came across this song, and so I looked for it in my music library, and there is a version that Wicked Angel does of a song called "Screaming in the Night."
Yeah, yeah. It's not this song.
It obviously wouldn't be this song because JD doesn't do
many. We'll play that for you sometime when we do the Wicked Angel Show.
The Wicked Angel Show. And you say something every show about when we do this show.
We never remember them, most of them.
Yes, we do. Okay. That's how we got the One Hit Wonders show. So I'm thinking maybe we should do a Wicked Angel Show.
Let's do it next week.
Next week is the Wicked Angel Show. But right now we're doing the One Hit Wonders show. And this is, for me, it's Crocus is one hit. And it's Screaming in the Night. Sons of vengeance, can you rescue me? They got me tied up to a wall tree. They have me screaming out in the night. I'm beginning to see what's wrong and what is right. What is wrong and what is right? Oh, oh, oh.
a unique voice. Not 100% unique, because there's other, I mean, like Brian Johnson, AC/DC, Cinderella guy, they got those similar type of voice, but
yeah.
but he still has a tonal quality that's pretty unique.
Yeah, it's, they sing operatic notes, but it's more rock and roll kind of edgy sort of. That's what, the only way I can describe it.
The early stuff was great. Crocus stuff. This was stuff was, you know, okay. And they, I don't know, I remember what this was on. Well, you know, it's a, they had other big hits, man. Stayed Awake All Night.
No, I never heard of that.
Stayed Awake All Night. I think it's, I want to say it might be even be a covered, but that was bigger than this, I think.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, that's why I was surprised that. You know what I mean? You found them as a one-hit wonder, but they were the kind of band, though, that had maybe, you know, a hit or two or something, but nothing else, really. But put out lots of records, a lot of albums,
for sure. Sure.
Yeah. But I was a big Crocus fan, so to me, some of those things, like, yeah. Because I listen to it so much, to me, it's not like a one-hit wonder, but when you think
about that.
Top yeah. 40, top 100, Billboard, all that, yeah, that's, you know, they might have had one thing on there. And then again, even though the other one was popular, or as or more popular, it might not have been on a chart, right? It might not have charted as high as this, which makes it a one hit because it was the hit. So,
right, exactly.
I guess you got to look at it from that way as well. And we can look at some lists.
Lists. There's lots of lists as far as one hit wonders go. There's so many ways to categorize it, different geographical locations and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, here's a great one that we're actually not playing in. It was Kung Fu Fighting. Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting.
That's Carl Douglas was the dude who did that.
You know who did it.
Yeah, yeah. Carl for Douglas. Sure. And I was going to include it as well, but I just, I.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. I got a couple doozies in here for us, but yeah, that was pretty good. And Blind Melon, No Rain. That's, you would think they might have had something else, but nope.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back.
We are.
Blind Melon, that was another really good album.
Oh, what's, okay.
That's like Cracker is another band like that. Who I loved all their tunes, but their hit was Low.
Mm-hmm.
No one else would, you know, if you weren't a fan of the band, you wouldn't know their
David Soul, Don't Give Up On Us, Baby. We're still worth one more try. You know that song?
Yeah. And he was,
don't
what was he?
Don't give up on us, I know.
He was Starsky and Hutch guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, Starsky and Hutch. He was Starsky, right? Terry Jacks, Seasons in the Sun. Another wonderful one. Wonder.
Awesome.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABC, and skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that the spring is in the air, pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the hills that we climbed were just seasons out of time. Goodbye, Papa, please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. You tried to teach me right from wrong. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. Goodbye, Papa, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that the spring's in the air, little children everywhere, when you see them I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons have all gone. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons have all gone. Goodbye, Michelle, my little one. You gave me love. love and help me find the sun. And every time that I was down, you would always come around and get my feet back on the ground. Goodbye, Michelle, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that the spring is in the air, with the flowers everywhere, I wish that we could both be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the stars we could reach were just starfish on the beach. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the stars we could reach were just starfish on the beach. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons, have all gone. All our lives we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
Go some Terry Jacks for you on Sunday morning.
That reminds me of so many other one hit wonders. When I hear that, I just
know what's another one that reminds me of a little bit as Delta Dawn.
Delta Dawn,
was
sure.
Was that him too?
No, that's Helen Reddy. It's a woman.
The other one there about no, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know, I'm gonna be like
Jim
you.
Croce. Yeah, so he
no,
yeah,
no,
Cats in a Cradle.
No, it's not Jim Croce though.
Oh.
Jim Croce probably had a bunch of hits.
You're telling me.
Wasn't that Mac Davis or something? Or
no.
Or is this Terry Jacks again?
Terry Jacks is that dude, the Seasons in the Sun guy.
Okay, well, we'll let you know after this tune.
This is Edison Lighthouse.
Not to be confused with Gordon Lightfoot coming to Windsor.
Or the band Lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, okay. Gordon Lightfoot. Love that guy.
Yes.
He's you like that?
I
like
that. Yeah, for sure. This is Love Grows.
Clothes are kind of funny, hair is kind of wild and free. Oh, but love grows where my rosemary goes, and nobody knows like me. She talks kind of lazy, people say she's crazy, and the love's a mystery. Oh, but love grows where my rosemary goes.
From the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
That Terry Jackson's, what it reminded me of was Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Oh, that was another one-hit wonder thing, absolutely, eh? Really? And that was for a movie, Billy Jack. Remember? The karate dude thing?
Yes.
Whole thing? What was the one that we wanted to find out? What was...
Cats in a Cradle?
You, Dad. You know I'm going to
be. Yeah, it's Jim Croce.
No, man.
Are you, before you find it, you want to bet?
You want to bet? Yeah. $8 million.
All right, $8 million.
Harry Chapin.
Oh, Cats in the Cradle. I owe him $8 million. $8 million. Damn. Good thing we didn't shake on it.
He's going to be playing a lot of harmonica, folks. And cajon and
whatever else you need me to
ukulele.
Do.
Achy breaky heart. I'm glad we're not playing that today. You didn't bring that, did you?
No, that's Miley Cyrus's dad.
Achy breaky heart. Yeah. Is he naked too and is on a ball and chain or on a wrecking ball?
No, I have no idea.
Bust a Move. Spirit in the Sky.
Henry Norman Greenbaum. Oh, what is his first name?
Norman. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of when I was trying to guess Edison Lighthouse's name. It was something like that.
A lot of these things, yeah.
They didn't take on stage names. They just obviously just used their own name.
Because yeah, that's probably should have. Maybe they would have had more hits or something like that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Biz Markie, Just a Friend. Great tune. You say he's just a friend. Yeah. And this here is Wild Cherry. We're going to listen to that funky music, white boy. Guys do that song.
Yes. Yeah. King Friday does a version.
It's cool tune, man. That's so funky.
And the thing is, that's a band, that's a song like Silent Lucidity is to Queensryche, play that funky music to a Wild Cherry. Wild Cherry is a rock band, total rock band, and then they play that tune there. It's nothing like the regular repertoire of stuff.
Cult of Personality.
Cult of Personality, yes, is Living Color. Went and saw these guys when they were big. It was an awesome show. This is Cult of Personality.
The color. of personality. The cult of personality.
And we'll be back.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back with our sponsor, Fisherman's Friend.
You want a Fisherman's Friend?
No, I don't. Thank you. I want to stop.
Do you have a Fisherman's Friend?
I do. And his name is...
Do you fish?
Do I fish? No. I think fishing is about as interesting as watching corn.
It's boring,
grow.
Isn't it? It's like playing golf.
No. Nothing like golfing. Golfing is nice. I like it.
Okay. What about something like, Putting on the Ritz by Taco? Putting on the Ritz. Well,
that's
kind of a neat tune, but.
Yes, but it was a crappy band name, that's for sure.
Yeah. Taco? It's got something to do with chicks, or I don't know. crash Test Dummies. Do you know that? Like, yeah. I don't even know that. I was never into. Are they Canadian?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, that's
and the guy has like. Guy has a voice that very low. He sings very low.
We don't have to take our clothes off. Jermaine Stewart.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know, some of these I don't remember. Charlene did I've Never Been to Me.
I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Oh, C.W. McCall, Convoy.
Oh, right. That
we
was...
got a mighty convoy. Boy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Convoy. Let's do harmony.
Convoy. No, I'm singing the same thing you are. Convoy.
Down like you. All right.
That's the extent of our singing expertise. More list action. Keep going.
Yeah, we got, there's all kinds. Michael Cimbello, Maniac. She's a maniac. Is that the song?
I think so, yeah. Michael Cimbello, that was a part of a movie soundtrack.
Oh, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. What a great song.
Huge.
Vicki Lawrence. And what about, I don't see it on here, or at least yet, The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. Remember that? The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
A couple.
Somebody else did it, but there was the popular one that we had as a 45 back in the 70s or something. I don't know if that was the original one. And then some rocky band played it before or after. I don't know. Like the band? Or
The Band.
Know. Was it The Band?
Did a version of it.
Okay, that was later then.
That was later. But there was a chick who sang the original version.
Yeah, I don't really see it in here.
And that was also in a movie. It was an Indian guy. Was it Billy Jack? I want to say that was in Billy Jack.
Billy Jack was part Indian, I think.
Yeah. I want to say that
song. Joan Baez had something going on in there too, I think, I thought.
With Billy Jack?
Yeah, well, a song. I don't know. Or maybe I just thought the girl was Joan Baez because she looked like her, but... What about Lou Bega? Mambo number 5. Is that the one? Yeah, a little bit of Monica in my life.
That is
catchy,
just,
man. Catchy.
But crap. Crap music.
Yeah, that's crap. But at the time?
Yeah, that's...
Not so crap, I guess.
I don't know.
For what, you know,
what was
people
going
were
on?
Into.
Yeah. You know, as far as...
Maybe not us rock
good
and roll
music
guys.
Goes. Speaking of what we think is crap and what is not, I was going to mention this in the news, but as usual, we have way too much stuff to talk about. The Keith Richards interview, he calls Black Sabbath and another huge, Metallica, a joke.
Okay, yeah. Enough said. Rat, Round and Round. We were talking about Rat earlier. And
well, they had a string of hits.
Well, apparently.
They're not a one-hit wonder.
They're a one-hit wonder.
No.
They might have had a string of popular songs, but as a hit, maybe just the one. I don't know. What else would they have had, though? Round and Round was like a big song for them.
So. It was obviously probably one of their biggest songs, for sure.
Tommy Two Tone.
867-5309-867.
Did you guys play that at all?
There's a number on the wall. No.
Was that what was the one? There was a song like that at that time that had an amazing solo in it. But I think it was a different song. But the solo was like really heavy. I just can't remember the name of the song. It wasn't that Jenny song though.
No.
Yeah, too bad. Jenny was catchy though. 867-5309. Did you ever try and call it?
No.
Minnie Riperton. Loving you. Well, he got up there pretty good. My voice is not up to par today.
He needs to suck on
Brownsville Station, Smoking in the Boys Room. Did I ever tell you my story about talking to the guitar player from Brownsville Station?
They're a Michigan band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys got into Audio Post later, and I had a couple conversations with him, I believe, and I don't remember what it was all about, but exchanged a few emails, and that was that.
Okay. And of course,
he had actually gotten out of whatever it was I was talking to him about. He didn't really do it anymore. But
Motley Crue did a version of that too.
Yeah, Smoking in the Boys' Room. Yeah, so many great one-hit wonder songs
for sure.
Can't really say artists, but the artists that did some of the songs are really cool and great. But that was really their only hit or whatever.
Yes,
Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Parts 1 and 2. I'm not sure what song that is.
Me neither.
We know the name, Gary Glitter, for sure, right?
Yep.
Nick Gilder, Hot Child in the City.
But they also had, he had another tune as well. I won't think of it, but we may even be playing it this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And well, we're just about out of time.
Are
and,
we?
Yeah, so we're done.
Why are you saying that? I see another tune lined up here.
Yeah, but we always play something at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. So we're going to be talking about what we're going to be doing next week.
Well, we did already. It's the Wicked Angel
Show. It's the Wicked Angel Show, and of course, if
Lippo's
anybody,
fault.
And if anybody doesn't know who Wicked Angel is, it's...
you're going to find out.
Yeah, you're going to find out. I won't even spoil it for you.
Don't spoil it for him.
What's that? Spoil it?
Don't spoil it for
him. Okay, I won't spoil it for him. So what do we got lined up here for
this is Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians, who apparently this was their only real hit. I love them and all their songs. Mm-hmm. I really like her. And she is, I think, still married to Paul Simon. And we'll leave you with What I Am is What I Am. And thanks to my You Talking to Me guest today, Mike Kozak from Tease.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean. I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean. Where?
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.